Olsen fakes it for pass in zone. Yes, touchdown to Greg Olsen.
Wilson just got it away. There's Keith Lee. Touchdown, Carolina.
Hello and welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is your rounds two and three. Oh shit. Nope. We're gonna redo that. And I know we're not gonna redo that because John's gonna play that anyway. Regardless.
Yeah, you're right. I like to let your errors just live out there for everyone.
Yeah, fuck it. So this is our Keep Sounding Podcast. Days two and three reaction to the NFL draft. The Carolina Panthers had some draft picks. John, how are you doing this fine evening? I know you're not doing anything substantial in your life.
Yeah, so sorry I sound poor. I'm on a phone because I was moving. I took a break from moving to do this because that is the type of dedication that I have over here.
You suck.
It's also because I would so much rather be moving right now, too. Like, I just love carrying heavy things down three flights of stairs to go drive them across town and take them back up three more flights of stairs.
You should have bought a bottom floor apartment.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, there's other factors at play here.
Well, that's our correspondent, John, from Europe, and Brad.
He's live on the scene.
Live on the scene in Europe. Brad, how are you doing this fine evening? I know you're in South Carolina, so.
I'm doing great because the draft is over. I could not be happier.
I do, like, I wish I just pretended like I was at the draft and just, it's like, that's why I sound bad. I'm just, like, live on the
scene. Actually, yeah, you could have pretended you were live at Bank of America Stadium or something.
Yeah, I just, like, have, like, somebody else's phone next to me playing idle chatter. So it sounds like there's, like, a crowd of people around me.
You do sound like an insider. You may have been able to confirm a few draft trade rumors, like the one earlier about how the Panthers supposedly turned down a first-round draft pick for Derrick Brown.
Yeah.
That's fucking bullshit, by the way, just so you guys
yeah.
know.
Just so everybody knows, that did not happen. I don't care what they say. I don't have any inside sources, so I'm not going to claim to be somebody I'm not. Like, I'm not going to claim to be Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport or whatever. But there's no way a team called Scott Fitterer and said, I will give you a first round draft pick for Derrick Brown. And Scott Fitterer said, no, there is no way.
I don't even need to confirm sources. I just have Twitter is my source. Many
there
people
is, yeah.
on Twitter. And they said, that's bullshit. So fuck
there
you.
There is no way. There is no way. And it was a middle of the first round. It was like from 12 to 23, somewhere in that range. So it wasn't like it was the Rams calling or, well, the Lions, because they have the Rams first round pick, calling and saying, we'll give you number 32. Like, it wasn't even that. It was a mid round pick. There's no way we said no to that.
Moral of the story, don't believe everything you fucking read on Twitter.
No.
So anyway.
Unless
we write it, yes. Yes, I agree. I am the social media czar. If you see anything I write on Twitter,
it's true.
It's true. It's always true. 100%.
But I don't know if you should let Brian say that so people know he's the one that runs the Twitter. Might lose some clout.
Yeah, we probably just our follower count as of right now, it's dropping like Bitcoin.
That is not true.
Oh wait, it's coming back up now. It's actually being just like Bitcoin.
See, the see my following is very volatile. That's why. But anyway,
We got a quarterback, fellas.
We sure did. Golden Corral, Matt Corral. The Panthers made a trade to get. That's what I'm calling him.
That's what Brian is trying to make it happen.
Wait, we can't call him Matt Golden Corral. It's Golden Corral, Matt Corral.
No, Brian is trying to make it happen.
Oh yeah, I'll be tweeting about it every single day until the
it's
Panthers
like fetch.
Organization.
It's never going to happen.
Until the Panthers organization acknowledges it, but. The Panthers traded up back into the third round and got themselves Matt Corral, quarterback, Ole Miss. And that was a guy who there were some mocks that had him going in the first round. So
he was the number one quarterback on a lot of people's chart. And, you know, I mean, this quarterback class wasn't great by any means. Like Kenny Pickett was the first one taken, and he was the only one taken in the first round, but actually in the first two rounds.
Can I interrupt you, Brad, real quick?
I guess.
Can I remind you that Kenny Pickett has very tiny hands?
Yes, he does have very tiny hands. He probably couldn't even hold a plate from Golden Corral. But, you know, a lot of people had Matt Corral as their number one quarterback, and we got him in the third round. So he's developmental guy.
It was like Matt Corral doesn't have, like, the physical durability or, like, physical traits that, like, Willis and Pickett have, but a lot of people think just in terms of like talent level, he's the best of the three.
Yeah. That's the only concern is that he's a smaller guy. He's 6'2", 215, but he can put on some weight.
Like the same size as Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, he can put some weight on.
He does play like Cam Newton though. I did see
but
that.
Yeah, right. He does. He is a very aggressive, and I think it's going to end up being a good pick. Like, we might look back on this, like, not quite as, like, Tom Brady-ish, but, like, we got a steal. Like, there's no way this guy should have been a third rounder.
I really liked him as a target for the Panthers during the season. Yeah. Like, just watching. And I went out of my way to watch Ole Miss games, which I'd never do because I was like, I want to watch Matt Corral because he's fun to watch. It'd be really cool if the Panthers drafted him to be our quarterback. And I would not have thought that we would have gotten him at the very end of the third round.
Yeah.
Europeans correspondent John there with the pick.
I'll say my piece quick, and then you guys can do most of the talking. But, like, it's just football, like, talent and passing ability and stuff aside, he's such an easy player to root for. Like,
yes, I agree.
He's overcome stuff off the field. I like in high school, didn't he transfer because he like didn't want to go to a rich prep school? He's like, I needed to go somewhere where there's some adversity. And
in
he also
high
got
school,
in a fight with Wayne Gretzky's kid.
I was going to say in high school, yeah. He transferred because he got in a fight with Wayne Gretzky's kid. And they told him he had to leave.
Yeah.
But if you if you look at that photo of it, that's been shared around on Twitter, that Wayne Gretzky's son should have been punched in the face. Like he looked like a kid you should punch in the face. But
like he's like ultra competitive, and then like I mean, this is kind of coach speak type stuff. But and the Panthers have said that, but like all of his teammates will like run through a wall for him. All of his coaches have nothing but like amazing things to say about him. And then like watching him play, like he's super super tough. Like he's got like the Matthew Stafford toughness, and then he's just like ultra competitive. Like sticking his neck out to try to score like. Get extra yards and score touchdowns. I know you got to be careful, but like you like that's his natural desire is to be that competitive, and then you can work on like being selective with it as opposed to taking someone who doesn't care and then trying to make them care more.
Yeah, you can't make somebody care more. Like you can't do it. And right. he had the opportunity.
I'll hang up and listen to the real host now.
Okay, he had an opportunity to opt out of their bowl game. And when they asked him if that's what he was going to do, he said, no, these guys depend on me and I depend on them and we're in this together. And then he got hurt and in the bowl game. And I actually felt really bad for him because he got hurt in the bowl game, but because, you know, he could have just taken the easy way out. Like everybody does. Like, that's one of the problems with bowl games now is all these draft prospects, they sit out to protect themselves, and that's their right. Like they should do that because they're going to forfeit millions of dollars if they don't. But I like seeing Corral be the guy that said, you know, I'm actually going to play. And, you know, I think he's going to be good for the Panthers. I think if they're smart, they will sit him behind Sam Darnold and just eat their Sam Darnold medicine for this year. And then let's see what Matt Corral can do. Like, I don't think they should put him out there immediately. They should develop him as a future starter instead of trying to, you know, put him out there right now. And I think long-term, this has a chance to actually work out.
So Brad brings up a good point, which is something we discussed on the first round reaction, that we should just stick with Sam Darnold, let him just, you know, let the Panthers figure out whether or not Sam Darnold's actually the answer, since they're already paying him this money. And I agree. I think this is the pick that solidifies that stance. They're going to stick with Sam Darnold. They're going to let Corral sit behind him. I will say I did a little bit of film review on him. And by film review, I mean watching some highlights. So, you know,
yeah,
pretty good at my job. What I noticed with him was, and this is a very coachable thing that can be addressed in the NFL, but, and this is also something where watching highlights could also be a problem, but his biggest plays in college were always his first read for the most part. Like 85% of the plays that I watched, his big plays were the first read, which means that
that could also be Lane Kiffin's offense too.
Exactly. That's what that was the caveat, is that, you know, if you have good play calling, obviously you want your quarterback to, you know, throw the ball where they're supposed to throw the ball. So in the NFL, it's a bit of a different animal where quarterbacks have to make different reads and potentially throw to their second and third option more consistently. That may not be a problem for him. I don't know. But that was what I observed on film, was just that most of his big plays in college were always the first read. So
yeah,
we'll see where it goes. But the nice thing for him is that he doesn't have to start week one.
He doesn't have to be a starter on day one, and he doesn't have to be a 10 to 12 game winner this year. Like, he can just be a developmental quarterback. Please excuse my loud dog if you can hear it. But anyway,
is that almost like an arcade playing in your background?
Yeah, I have the door closed and he's still being really loud. But anyway,
I can't wait
to see Matt Corral in the preseason. I haven't felt that way about a quarterback on our roster since we drafted Cam Newton, because after Cam became the starter, I no longer wanted to see him in the preseason because I didn't want him to play, because I didn't want him to get hurt. And our backup quarterbacks have been dog shit for a decade now. So I can't wait. I actually want to watch Matt Corral play in the preseason. I'm looking forward to it.
Our European correspondent, John, has a thought about that.
Yeah. Jonathan, this is Jonathan, Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for taking my call. The only thing I thought – I don't know if we should do the whole, like, develop him all year, I think.
Oh, no, we should put him in the game, like, if it's out of hand.
At some point. Well, no. So my thing is, like Brian said something along the lines of, like, see if Sam Darnold's the answer. Like, I can say with, like, 99% confidence Sam Darnold's not the answer. So, like,
I don't totally think he is on either. Yeah.
So I think, like, on board with, like, Sam Darnold starts the beginning of the season, but I think when Sam Darnold starts to falter again, you gotta let Matt, you have to let Corral go in play, because even if he's, you have to see if he's it or not, because if Sam Darnold's floundering and you end up in a position for another quarterback, you've got to know if, like, it's worth, if you have something already there, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to get in, we don't want to let Sam Darnold lead us to, like, another top five pick, and then it's just like, I guess at that point you probably take quarterback anyway, but it's like, what if we didn't need to, because we already have the guy, but we didn't know because we let Sam Darnold ruin everything again.
Yeah, like if we're like 1-6,
yeah,
or something. Yeah, let Matt Corral play and see what he can do. And I agree with you. I think that the downside to that, and it's not really a downside, but the downside to that is he turns everything around and we finish, you know, what, 12-6 or 11-6, and make the playoffs, gets smoked in the playoffs, and then end up with a number 22 pick. But
yeah, but in that case, then, you but have then the
in that case,
though,
we
right?
we have the quarterback. So like, it's part. it's not a bad thing necessarily. But, you know, I just want to see the kid play. I'm rooting for him. I agree with John that Sam is probably not the answer. I don't think he's going to magically fix everything with a left tackle and a new offensive coordinator. I think he's he's cooked. I think he's basically he is who he is at this point. Because there were times last year when he was making really bad decisions and he had plenty of time to process what was in front of him, and he just wasn't doing it. Like the offensive line wasn't as bad in some cases as we think it was, because Darnold just made terrible decisions to compound the problem. Also, Sam Darnold
would be the worst quarterback to ever become a decent quarterback.
Yeah, he would.
Like, no one's ever been – there's, like, Ryan Tannehill is, like, the only example I can think of off the top of my head is a guy that was, like, underwhelming. But he went from, like, is he or is he not the guy to, like, oh, he's actually pretty good to maybe that was just a flash in the pan. Nobody's ever gone from just, like, downright terrible for several years and then, like, oh, actually, he's pretty good now at like, whatever age Sam Darnold, like, in his sixth year in the league.
Yeah, so I mean, he's 24 years old, or, yeah, he's 24 years old. But you're right. Nobody has gone from being that bad to being good.
Right, for that long, too. It's like, it's not like, yeah, he was bad as a rookie, and then he started to figure it out. It's just like, yeah, he's just been consistently bad for several years. And then all usually, of a sudden, like, the development curve doesn't work like that.
Yeah, usually you know by year two if they're right, good or like, not.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was awful his rookie year, but he turned out to be Peyton Manning. Like, you know by year two if they're going to be any good or not.
Yeah. Yeah, they made it through what? He's gone through 4 years now because this is about to be his fifth year option.
Yeah, fifth year option, so.
If there's 4 years, you've shown a three-game stretch of maybe being good, then you're probably out of, like, however, you know, a possible 65 games, in, not counting, like, when if you're, like, injuries and stuff like that, you've got a resume of three good games, you're probably not going to be the guy.
Yeah, and I know we wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt because the Jets were terrible, and it started to look like that was the case in those first three games this year, but... I think he's proven that he's a backup at best, and I don't see us keeping him past next year regardless.
Yeah.
So.
No, he's gone.
So, I mean, honestly, hell, just fuck it. Just put Corral in there and just see what he can do.
I like after over the course games. Of the last 5 minutes, yeah. We've gone from, like, you can develop him behind Sam Darnold, like, ah, never mind. Just, like,
never mind. Who cares?
Week one, day one, snap one, throw him out there.
Let's throw him out like this. Let's see what he can do. Let's make it fun.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So let's talk about the rest of the Carolina Panthers draft. So
we took a linebacker.
We did. Brandon Smith, Penn State.
An athletic linebacker.
So this is where we get into the point of the draft where it's not about what they're bad at. It's about what they're good at. And
we traded up to get this guy too. We traded both of our fifth round picks to get into the fourth round at number 120 to get this guy. So clearly they saw something they liked.
So this is where you get into the projection of the NFL draft, where we're really, for the most part, throwing darts at the dartboard.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, this is a guy where he has all the athletic traits to be a really good linebacker in the NFL. You just didn't see the tape necessarily where he would be, because if he was a really, really, really good linebacker in college, he would be a first or second round pick probably.
Yes, with his athletic testing, there, if he were an experienced linebacker, there's no way he didn't go in the first two rounds.
Right.
And unless he was injured or something, but
this is where you take players like that. You take players where it's like, okay, these are reasons why they can win in the NFL, where in the first round to the second round, it's always, okay, why can't they win in the NFL? Where third round beyond, why can they win the NFL? So this was the penultimate draft pick as far as that is concerned for me. Overall, I mean, that obviously he's got Shaq Thompson to learn from. He's got Frankie Louvre to learn from. So it's not necessarily he has to be slated in to start right away, but he really might be starting week one if they're going 4-3 defense.
He probably might, because one of our linebackers is allegedly going to be arrested, or has been arrested, and allegedly tried to murder his ex-girlfriend or his girlfriend. So he might not be on the team much longer. And we already don't have, like, Shaq Thompson and Frankie Louvre were basically it, because we lost.
We have Corey Littleton too.
We also have Corey Littleton. Yeah. We lost Jermaine Carter in free agency. And so,
darn.
Yeah. So this guy, I mean, he might end up playing more than we wanted him to play.
Which is probably why they traded up for him. So
yeah, just because of the situation. And I cannot remember the guy's name that is allegedly in some legal trouble, because he's only been with the team. Damian Wilson. He'd only been with the team like 2 weeks when that happened. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a cop. I don't know. So I'm not going to comment on the validity or the invalidity of all that stuff. I'm just going to, you know, just say that he may or may not even be on the roster. So Brandon Smith might have a more important role than just special teams guy in his rookie year.
What does our European correspondent John think of this?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call again. I don't remember the name. We only need to give them attention, but like someone was whining about the pick on Twitter because it was a terrible pick. It's like, there's no such thing as a terrible pick in the third day of the draft. You're all just guessing. And I don't know how you can say anything. And it's like you guys were saying, or like Brian was saying, it's like you take, and you were both saying this really, you take athletes. If they've shown anything resembling like high level football ability, which they have, if they're, you know, they're playing Big Ten football and they're an elite athlete, you might as well see what you've got there.
Yeah. And like, when we say elite athlete, he might be terrible, but I mean, when we say elite athlete, we mean like eighth best linebacker of all time, based on relative athletic score. His RAS was 9.97. There's a guy that played for the Panthers for a couple of games. You may or may not remember him. I don't know. His name was Luke Kuechly, and his was 9.98. So, I mean, athletically,
basically, he's only 1/100th of a point worse than Luke Kuechly as a player.
As an athletic specimen.
As a player.
As a player. And he's not going to have the pre-snap computer brain that Luke Kuechly had, because nobody does. But
you don't know that.
Well, I that is true. I don't know that, Brian. But if he can just be Luke Kuechly without Luke Kuechly's pre-snap judgment, like if he can just be average there but also be as athletic as Luke Kuechly was, I think he'll be okay. Like, he'll probably be a pretty decent linebacker. And it's worth taking a shot on him in the fourth round.
What's funny to me, or I guess is just my personal problem, I have to like recondition myself to remember that we do need linebackers again.
Yes, we actually, and we need a linebacker. Yeah, it's not like it's a running back. Like, we actually need a linebacker.
Well, for the longest time, we had like Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis, and then, you know, a decent rotation of other players around them. Yeah, and it was just like, why? Even when we picked Shaq, it's like, why are we picking a linebacker? We have no need for linebackers. So now whenever I see us pick a linebacker, I'm always like, ew. And then I remember like, wait, no, we kind of need that.
We took an edge rusher too.
You can always have those.
Yes. Amari Barno from Virginia Tech. Like, I don't know that much about the guy. I know that our correspondent Walker went to, or is a Virginia Tech fan. I don't know if he went there or not. I'm not going to say that he did, just in case he didn't. But he likes Amari Barno because he went to Virginia Tech. So, you know, good for him.
It's always funny when someone, it's always funny when someone like in our inner circle is like, you know, I wanted to take this guy from my favorite team. And then like 30 minutes later, it's like, we picked someone. It's that guy. We were literally the only person we've talked about in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the guy. I know he used to be a linebacker and he converted to defensive end. So he's probably going to be a developmental type Hassan Reddick replacement.
He's a really tall and awkward looking defensive end. This is the best way to put it. I watched a little bit of his highlights as well. And he's very tall and very skinny for a defensive end. But
so 3-4 outside linebacker on third down type guy.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's like the Marquise Haynes type player.
Yeah.
At least where his body type is at now.
His only job is to run as fast as he can towards the quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah. just put him and Brian Burns there and just let him run after the quarterback. But he strikes me as a player who's still trying to learn the NFL and, or not even the NFL, just football in general. But overall, just a really explosive athlete. And that's a trend, obviously.
Yeah.
With Matt Rhule and Scott Fitterer, they're looking for the big athletes, which
I support that.
I mean, we live through the Rashawn Golden approach. So yeah.
The worst athlete of all time.
Worst athletes. Yeah.
It's so funny when someone gets picked and everybody's like, what is this? This is dumb. Like all of like draft Twitter. And then that player ends up actually being terrible. Like, see, sometimes the group thing does know what it's talking about.
Yeah. It's rare, but it does happen.
Take your spreadsheets and shove them down your ass, John. It's fine. It'll work out.
I don't know much about any of the players from this point forward, but
I don't either. We're going to go through them. I know a little bit about the last guy, but I don't know anything about the next guy either. Cade Mays, an offensive lineman from Tennessee, through Georgia. It's a cool name. He started at Georgia. He went to Tennessee, transferred to Tennessee. He can play every position on the offensive line. So we've got our depth guy that can play wherever somebody gets hurt. And he won't be as good as whoever starts, but he'll be a body. And
I mean, this is your Dennis Daly replacement, basically.
Yeah. Dennis Daly, Tyler Larson, like that guy. Like, he just, somebody goes down, we need somebody, and it doesn't matter which part of the line it is, Cade Mays can go in there and play. So hopefully he's good.
Marketing
and then we got the Matt Rhule special.
The Matt Rhule pick. Matt Rhule took the card away from Scott Fitterer and wrote Kalen Barnes, cornerback from Baylor.
Scott Fitterer left the war room to go to the bathroom and Matt Rhule locked the door.
Yeah, and then just drafted his guy. Yeah. Drafted his guy. It's a corner. We need a corner. We can always use corners. And this dude is fast.
He sure is.
He had a 4.23 40-yard dash. It was the fastest time at the combine. He can move. He went to Baylor. They had a decent defense last year. Of course, it was a Big 12 defense, so it may or may not be worth a crap. I don't know. But he can move. He's fast.
You know what helps if you're bad at cornerback is that you're fast enough to catch up and make up for your mistakes.
That is true.
I mean, you can still be bad. It's not like it's like a free pass to not to like make you a good corner, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
But you can also, you can make it look like you're less bad if you can catch up.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know. As of this recording, we've signed 3 undrafted free agents. I don't know if we've added any more. I'm not going to look right now because I don't care. But our three future,
about.
Well, there is one I care about. Our future Hall of Famers. Our future Hall of Famers are Davis Cheek, a quarterback from Elon, Kalon Tolson, a linebacker from Illinois, and the MVP, and the reason we won the UDFA battle, Charleston Rambo, a wide receiver from Miami. That is the most elite name that I have ever seen from an undrafted free agent.
I mean, he's going to beat out Robbie Anderson. We're trading him at this point.
I will trade DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson just to keep Charleston Rambo on the roster. We got to trade DJ Moore anyway so Matt Corral can have the number two.
Right.
Oh. Just say, oh, Shy Smith's number 12. Matt Corral, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Corral can be number 12 because Shy might not be on the team.
Nah, he's probably gone.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He got himself in a little trouble too.
He got himself into some legal trouble too, and he might not be on the team either. So,
yeah, but just the name, like the first, it was funny too because that was the first one, right? Was Charles, was Rambo?
No, the Davis Cheeks was actually the first one.
No, well, he lives in Charlotte. He's already like at the stadium.
Yeah. He was probably just hanging out.
Right. He just happened to be, it was just like, hey, Davis, you want to sign with us real quick? He's like, what? Okay, sure. It's like, yeah, all right, sure. Number one. Okay.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, we like beelined it for Charleston Rambo. We're like, all right, now let's go pop on the table on this guy. I don't know anything about him, but I just saw that name out there. I was like, we got to get that guy.
I don't know anything about him. I'm trying to find his RAS information real quick, because if I remember correctly, it's very bad. but I don't care. So, I mean, he was an undrafted free agent for a reason. Like, you know, you can't really
5.73.
5.73. Yeah. So
I mean, it's
average. It's not bad. Yeah. It's average. It's bad.
I think average is probably bad because probably most of the bad ones are bad players.
Yeah. Okay, here it is.
Bad player.
Damn, that's why I'm not in the NFL. So I'm doing the podcast and not playing.
His composite size grade is poor. Looks like he's
very
skinny. He's 6 feet tall and 177 pounds. He's tiny.
Oh God, he's gonna get killed.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to, maybe they brought him in to be a kick returner.
He's going to get murdered in the NFL. What the hell?
Maybe they want him to just return kicks. Cause I know Scott Fitterer said they were going to look for special teams guys as UDFAs. He has
well,
a
I guess
poor,
they kinda have to,
he has a poor vertical and a poor broad jump. He has decent speed. His 40 was 4.57, but his 10 yard split speed. Was, his 10-yard split was 1.53.
That's not bad.
So he starts very quickly. His 20-yard split was 2.57. So apparently in his 40, he either just stopped running, like gave up, or he slows down, like he doesn't have any energy.
I mean, let's be honest. We're just going to have Rashard Higgins just fair catching punts like last year with – Erickson. Let's just accept that now. So
I'm not the only person who thinks his 20-40 split is weird. Somebody else said it looks like he tripped when he was running. I mean, that's possible. I mean, really, because he has some explosiveness. He gets 10 yards in 1.5 seconds, and then at 20 yards, and it only takes him another second to get to 20, but then it takes him 2 whole seconds to get to 40. Like, he slowed down.
He tripped.
He tripped. Maybe he did.
He runs on like
maybe the wind
curve.
Was
like
maybe the wind was blowing in.
Slowing down.
Yeah, maybe the wind was blowing in because he's only 6 foot tall, 177 pounds.
Man.
I don't know. It's an elite name. That's all I care about.
So, overall, what do we think of this draft? John, I'll give you a chance to give your grade of the draft, I guess.
And okay, thanks for taking my call. I think
It's
European correspondent John over here.
I don't know why I had to go European correspondent. Why couldn't I just be a correspondent? What was the question? Oh yeah. I'm happy with it. I don't know how you could feel like super strongly against it. Like we got the first tackle in the draft. We got an who should be a very good offensive tackle, which we needed for like ever. And we got a guy that could potentially be a quarterback, and then we picked some good athletes.
By the way,
what?
That we got an offensive tackle just because I love torturing Walker. But anyway, continue.
But yeah, we got an offensive tackle that should be good. We have a quarterback that got a chance to be good, and then we took some good athletes at positions of need. I don't know what else. And then we got a guy named Rambo. I don't know what else. I don't know how you can. I don't know what there's to complain about. I guess
the only thing people can complain about is if their mock draft isn't what we did. Like, that's really the only complaint anybody should, you know, and it's not really a complaint, but that's the only thing I can see. Like, well, I thought we would do this. Well, we didn't. Because John nailed it. Like, we got the top left tackle. We got a good chance at a decent quarterback. We got some good athletes at positions we needed to fill. And we got a guy named Charleston Rambo. This is an A draft. If we checked all the boxes, we didn't trade. We traded one future draft pick, and I think it was a third rounder.
Yeah, he basically just traded himself back into 2021 with the third round pick there. So that they didn't give up a whole lot for that, which was nice.
Yeah. So I mean, we didn't give up future assets. We didn't trade for a mediocre veteran, at least not yet. We're taking a shot with Matt Corral. We are taking a shot with good athletes. We got the best tackle on our board. It's an A. Like, I don't see how you can give this anything less than a B+. Because the only argument I can see against what we did was not trading anything and trading up. Because there is a, you know, you should never trade up approach to the draft, and I respect that, but I think we did a good job at collecting picks to use on players we can work with and develop, and we signed a guy named Charleston Rambo, so I'm gonna buy his jersey.
Overall,
I also typically agree with the don't trade up ever, but like getting a quarterback I think is kind of the exception to that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't like trading up, but I also don't mind doing it for a quarterback, and I don't mind doing it when you trade 2 5th-round picks for 1 4th-round pick.
Right.
Like, I don't – that's basically an even swap, so I don't really –
Yeah, you're also just basically giving up, like, undrafted free agent-level picks when you can just sign other undrafted free agents.
Yeah, you're giving up a guy that may or may not make the team anyway, so – I'm fine with that. I'm just glad we didn't trade next year's first to get up into the second round.
Yeah, the way I view this pick of Matt Corral is basically just taking next year's third round pick and just moving it into this year.
Yeah.
We're not going to be hurting overall to not have that. I mean,
and this we may get a comp pick, you know.
Shut up.
And it's also, it's easier to get back into the third round than it is the second round. So we can choose to get back into the third round next year if we want.
Right.
Or yeah. We might get a third round pick for Robbie Anderson. Like, you know,
I like the idea that we just trade a future third round pick for a current third round pick every single year.
I think we should just do that. Yeah. Just keep doing that.
We'll have 2 third-round picks every year.
Yeah.
There's just one, year. But we're just like constantly just like behind. We're just like constantly in debt. We're like, hey, we'll give you a 2024 third rounder for a 2023 third rounder, and they're like, okay, and then we keep doing that forever.
That's just the nice thing like about the time.
Saints. Be like the Saints with their salary cap. Just do that with third rounders.
Exactly. That's the nice thing about time. Down the infinite. Road.
Yeah.
Time is infinite.
Yeah.
It's only gonna matter when the world blows up. So.
And then we won't have to owe anybody a third round pick anymore.
Exactly.
Then who the fuck cares? So. But anything you guys want to add as far as draft valuation?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, it's been a great 2022 NFL drafts. Really exciting. Actually, I was originally against the Panthers trading into the second or third round, but it worked out really well. I liked it. So the Panthers were active in the first day, second day, and third day. So good time. Good time. So we'll see what happens next year. But hopefully this version of the Panthers turns out to be at least a little competitive compared to the last however many years of picking the top 10. So anyway, from all of us here at the Keep Sounding Podcast, this is Brian joined by John and Brad as always, and hopefully we can cover a successful season coming forward for once in a while. Have a good one.
Yep.
Later.